we're so glad that you're here this weekend. We want to welcome you to Parkview. We are very excited about today. And if you're new, this is your first time with us, I want to welcome you. My name's Chad. I'm one of the campus pastors around here. And those of you even around the building and online with us, we're so thrilled that you've joined us as well. This weekend
Hi,
is special.
I'm Tim. I'm one of the pastors around here too.
You knew it was going to happen. This is a special weekend for us. We're going to celebrate following Jesus in the waters of baptism. This is Summer Splash Weekend. It's one of those weekends when Tim gets to wear his socks and his Cubs uniform at the same time because he's a little confused. Anyway, you're going to have an opportunity at the end of the service today to get baptized. If you've never taken that step, today might be the opportunity for you. Tim's going to give some instructions for you towards the end of the service, but just want you to know one detail. If you'd like to do it, during that moment, you're going to want to go to the back of the auditorium. Just make sure you register, give us your name, and then we'll take care of you from there. Summer's in full swing around here. We're very excited about it. Summer Jam's coming in 2 weeks. And so we've got about 350 kids who have already registered to be a part of our Summer Jam experience here at Orland. We're very excited about it. But we still need some volunteers. We need about 50 or 60 more people to step in and help us put on this experience. So if you'd like to do that, you could head out to our Summer Jam booth out in the lobby and get all the information that you need. Also, our Parkview One Athletics program is launching a brand new program this summer for baseball and softball camp. It's going to be pre-K through fifth grade. Registration is open, and it begins July 10 through 13. So if you're training the next Tim Anderson or Yoan Moncada, this is your opportunity to start that right now, parkview.com/athletics. And then finally, last year, Parkview Global partnered with one of our Parkview One Athletics to bless our global mission partners in Mexico. It's a pretty cool experience. Last year, when the kids signed up for soccer, each of those registrations included a soccer ball with a scripture on it. Here's a picture of it for you to check out. And that soccer ball was sent to those folks in Mexico with that Bible verse on it in Spanish. Pretty cool. Well, several hundreds of balls were sent out to Mexico. In addition to that, Parkview One Athletics was able to bless the Vida Nueva schools there with free soccer uniforms, which is pretty cool. So we just heard back from our global partners that the soccer fields in Vida Nueva have become the center for the entire city's soccer league. And that Vida Nueva Lions team just won their semifinal tournament game last week with one of our soccer balls. That's pretty cool. So just saying, sign up your kids for soccer. You might change the world. You never know. All right. We are thrilled that you're a part of our church. Thank you for giving and being a part of all that God has done here. When we pull together as a team, we can make a big impact, and you're certainly doing that. So cheers to you guys. We're glad that you're here, and now we get to celebrate all that God's doing. So let's stand up together and worship our great God.
Well, good morning, church. Our God deserves all praise and glory. Let's give it to him this morning. Let's lift our voices. Come on, let's do it together. Here we go. Sing this out together.
We worship the God who was. We worship the God who is. We worship the God who evermore will be. He opened the prison doors. He parted the raging sea. My God, he holds the victory.
Sing it out.
There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet, but we'll shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet, we'll shout out your praise.
We sing, come on.
We sing to the God who heals. We sing to the God who saves. We sing to the God who always makes a way. shout out your praise.
Come on, let's put our hands together this morning. Let's sing praises to our God. He's worthy, so worthy. We're the beggars. Sing it out.
We were the beggars. Now we're royalty.
Come on.
We were the prisoners.
Raise it up.
Now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by His grace.
Let the house.
Let the house of the Lord sing praise.
Come on, church. Let's go.
We were the beggars, now we're royalty. We were the prisoners, now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by His grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. Oh, there's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet.
Come on.
We'll shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We'll shout out. Let the house of the Lord sing praise.
Yeah.
Faithful in every season.
build our life upon him. He is our firm foundation. He will not be shaken. He is good and he is kind.
God, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. And most of all, God, we thank you for being faithful to see us through whatever situation we may be facing, whatever burdens we might be carrying. God, you are faithful. You are trustworthy. You are holy. We're so thankful that we get to come together and sing praises to your name and lift you high because you are so worthy of it and so much more, God. We thank you for this time and we give it to you. In Jesus' name we pray and everyone says, amen. Thank you for worshiping with us this morning. You may have a seat.
Welcome, everybody. We're really glad to have you here. Welcome to you online. Glad to have you with us. If you got here a little bit late, you might have missed it, but we only had a few people signed up at the early service to do baptisms, and yet the move of God happened, and we were dunking people until the first song got over, and I wasn't sure I was going to get the opportunity to even go to the bathroom before I came back out here in some dry clothes. So we've had an amazing weekend already, and I'm just putting it out there. This might be your day. I can always tell when people weren't planning on doing it because they're in some kind of a Parkview leftover t-shirt. So it's kind of fun because most of the people weren't planning on it. And so if this is your day, man, that's what it's for. I also want to remind you that next weekend, is Father's Day, okay? And I have to remind you, because most of us are like, oh, dang, it's Father's Day, I forgot. So I want to remind you also, because it's a really cool day for us. We've done Father's Day big around here for a long time, and there's a lot of special stuff going on. Plus, since it's probably my last Father's Day as a father to be preaching, my whole family is coming up. You'll get to meet all of my grandkids, and they're really adorable. They're cuter than your grandkids, really. And my son-in-law is going to lead worship, and we got some amazing stuff. And my mom and dad are even coming in. My dad's going to do communion. He's a retired pastor, and I'm going to have him do communion because that'll mean a lot to me. So I hope you'll be here next week, and it's really going to be a lot of fun. So Christian author Bruce Larson talks about being on vacation at in a national park, and they'd taken a long time to drive there, and they came up to this place where there was a sign that said Naturist Camp, 3 miles ahead. So he said to his wife, hey, it's a beautiful day. The kids have been in the car for a while. Let's go see if there are some trails at this naturist camp. And I will add that his wife also thought it was a good idea. And so they turned off and they made their way to the naturist camp. And on their way, they saw some people coming towards them riding bicycles. And as they got closer, they realized that the people were naked. They weren't wearing any clothes at all. And suddenly the understanding of naturist versus nature became clear to them, and a little bit of panic set in because they had, again, their kids in the back. So he decides he needs to turn around, but I mean, he's thinking it through. He's like, if I turn around too soon, then we're going to drive right by the naked bikers again. So we'll just take our time. And he said, so we just drove a little bit longer, and then he figured he had enough time to get away from them. And he started to turn around, and he hears his little boy in the back seat say, Dad, did you see that? And he's like, yes, son, I saw that. Dad, none of them were wearing bike helmets. Apparently, he was sitting low enough in the car seat in the back that he had a limited perspective, okay? So that's what we're going to talk about today, not naked bike riding, but limited perspective of what you have in your life. Being focused on the wrong thing, all right? We're in chapter 23 of Quest 52 that we're going through together. And in our encounter today, Jesus is going to heal a man, but it is clear that this healing is not the man's greatest need. Let me give you the point right up front so you can hear the story that way, all right? What you think may be your greatest need probably isn't your deepest need. What you think you need may not be your deepest need. We come to God with a lot of wants, right? And a lot of things that we think we need, but it's easy to lose sight of what we need the most. And I guess this falls into the same category as Lazarus last week. If you didn't hear that sermon, I really recommend. There's a lot of stuff in there for you to grab a hold of that will help you when life gets tough. But Jesus, they were saying, Jesus, where were you? Because they thought they had things figured out. And maybe there's some things in your life that you've prayed about and you hoped would have turned out differently. I know there were for me. There are for me. And what happens is that we get stuck in that thinking, right? And we think if that was resolved, everything would be okay. But the truth is, what you think you need might not be your deepest need, okay? A few days later, Jesus enters Capernaum. The people had heard that he had come home. This was his base on the Sea of Galilee, where he did a lot of his ministry. It's also where Peter's house was. Cool place to visit if you get to go to the Holy Land. And they gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them, okay? At the end of Mark's gospel, and remember, each one of the gospel writers wrote kind of for a different audience and kind of to help different crowds do it. And Mark put his together in a really interesting way. At the end of the first chapter, Jesus heals a guy with leprosy. And then he says, don't tell anybody. Well, I mean, if you understand, leprosy was like something, I mean, remember COVID, but way, way past that, right? It was a contagious disease that would always kill you, okay? So if you had leprosy, people ran from you, seriously. And so you get healed from leprosy and you come back to your town or whatever and you're like, hey, everybody. And they're like, whoa, 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 just step back. And you go, no, wait, here's my letter from the priest, which he had to go get. And he says, I'm clean. And they're like, what happened? mean, leprosy doesn't go away. I know what he did. He said, well, I'm not supposed to tell you, but Jesus did it. I mean, how can you not be excited about that, right? And so everybody, I mean, I don't even know why Jesus bothered to say that. Everybody is excited. Everybody knows that Jesus is here. And so Jesus shows up in Capernaum, and here we go. Some men came bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. And since they could not get in to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowering the mat the man was lying on. You may have heard this story before, okay? Homes would have had a roof, I mean, that would have been like boards and sticks and grass. It's not like the roofs that we have now. And they would take the roof off every fall to get ready for the winter rain. So it's not like they were up there with their cordless DeWalt tools, you know, sawing away. It's just, imagine the scene, okay? Jesus is teaching and they hear this scratching sound and all of a sudden there's stuff falling down, you know, from up above. And then all of a sudden there's a new skylight in the roof. And whoever owns the house is like, wait, what's going on? And then a crippled guy is lowered through it. Here's my point. Everybody knows why they brought this guy to Jesus. He can't walk. I mean, it's very obvious. Everybody knows the guy. He can't walk. Now, a little thing the Bible says here is when Jesus saw their faith, okay, I want you to grab a hold of this, and I'm going to underline it so that we can come back to it in a minute. Their faith, this is really weird theologically, because it's supposed to be about our faith, right? But when Jesus saw their faith, so I got to ask you, I got to pause right here and ask you a question. Do you have anyone in your life that would bust a hole in a roof so that you could get to Jesus? I do. I have a lot of them, honestly. But some of them are three guys that I partnered with 16 years ago to be those people, okay? They're going to be my pallbearers. They're going to be the people that have lived life with me, okay? And the reason I say this is because we have an opportunity for you to find some people like that this summer. We have small groups that are going to launch for just 6 weeks. And they just launched on Thursday, but you can still get into them if you want to. And they're 6 weeks long. And why do I say that? Have you ever noticed that when you're on an airline flight, nobody talks to anybody until you land? You ever notice that? It's like you get on the plane, you're like, oh, hey, how you doing? And you put your headphones on, right? Because you don't want to talk on the plane, you know. You know, they might be a, you know, Jehovah's Witness or something. You don't have to deal with any of this, right? So you're on the plane, and then you land, everybody lands, and I noticed this. I was on a flight recently, I noticed this. All of a sudden, everybody's talking. It's like, you know, it's like a family reunion. Hey, how you doing? I was good to see you. What are you coming to Chicago for? Blah, blah, blah. Why is that? And then it dawned on me. The reason is because I only have like 3 more minutes with you. I can be as friendly as I want for 3 minutes because I'm not going to have to sit by you anymore, right? Now, here's my point. 6 weeks is kind of like it's already the end of the flight, okay? If they're weird, you know, if they try to sell you something or whatever, you don't have to be there very long. It's only 6 weeks. If you don't have people that would wreck the roof for you, this is important. You need to find those people, and maybe a summer small group would do the trick, okay? Literally, what's important here is that the faith of their friends brought him to Jesus. It wasn't just his faith. And I just want you to hold on to that one also, because If you don't have friends that are like that in your life, are you a friend like that in someone's life? And I would venture a guess that most of us would go, yeah, I've got people in my life that I'd love to bring to Jesus. Well, your faith matters, okay? When he saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. Okay, all right, time out. Jesus, you may be the only one that hasn't caught on here. But his friends did not wreck the roof so that his sins could be forgiven. He can't walk. They brought him here for healing. I mean, I think everybody is thinking the same thing, right? This is weird, Jesus. I mean, it's kind of mean, isn't it? I mean, can't you see what his real problem is? If I'm one of the disciples, I'd be over like going, Jesus, he can't walk, okay? I think you missed something. Not only that, But as always, there are religious leaders there who are trying to trip Jesus up. They're trying to disprove the guy, and they can't believe that Jesus would say this. Now, some of the teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, why does this fellow, note to, you know, anytime you see thinking to themselves in the Bible, just know it's going to be fun, because you can't think to yourself if Jesus is around, right? Okay? Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Okay? Getting your sins forgiven in the Old Testament system was complicated. It was expensive, okay? First, you have to go buy a sheep, or if you can't afford a sheep, you go buy a pigeon, and then you go to the temple, which is, by the way, a long walk from Capernaum, and you wait in line to see a priest, and then you get to the front of the line, the priest sacrifices your animal, and then you have forgiveness for sins, but it's only temporary. You have to keep going back to do this over and over again. And besides that, only God alone can sacrifice sins. So they're thinking this is blasphemy. So here's what I mean. There's one group that is like disappointed with Jesus because they came for a miracle, and here's a miracle waiting to happen, and you forgave his sins. I mean, is that really important? And then there's another group that's angry because Jesus is claiming to do something only God can do. And remember, again, they were thinking to themselves, he's blaspheming. But Jesus knows everything, right? My wife has a soap dish that says, always pray and wash your hands, because germs in Jesus are everywhere, okay? Right? Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to the paralyzed man, you are forgiven, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat, and walk? This whole thing is a setup. Jesus is so smart. Jesus is like, making a man walk is easy. Forgiving a man's sin is going to cost me something. So from Jesus' perspective, as this man is coming down the roof, he sees the man not as just being helmetless. He sees him naked, okay? What Jesus really knew was that this guy's pressing need was not his primary need. His physical need was not his deepest need. And I think we do that, right? I mean, think about what you would think are your deepest needs for the most part, right? I just threw some down here. Health, right? I mean, if you've got health issues, or if you're old like me, whatever. I mean, if you're young, maybe health isn't, but you're still into healthy things and you work out right, and we take this for granted. I started thinking about this, man. I'd have no idea how much money I spend on essential oils at my house, you know? And I have a handful of supplements that I have to take every day. I don't know what they are. I just do what she tells me to do, and I take them. And I'm not kidding. She has me eating dirt now. My wife has me eating dirt. Look up diatomaceous earth. It's food-grade dirt. I put it in water, and I drink it. I don't know what it does. My guess is that it speeds up the burial process. Ashes to ashes, dust to, well, he's already half dust already. Doesn't really matter. You know what I'm saying? Especially if you've got an issue. Health is one of our things. Or how about resources? We want enough financial means to take care of things and maybe a little extra to do something. We want companionship. I read this a couple of weeks ago. One out of two people say their feelings of loneliness range from intense to unbearable right now. We have a need for that. We have a need for recognition, right? I mean, we learned this through the job market through COVID, that people wanted meaning and purpose in their life. And it's all different. So, but you know what doesn't usually show up on the list? Forgiveness. I mean, a lot of people don't think they need forgiveness. You know, they're better than their neighbor or whatever, you know, and if God's just going to judge on the curve, and it's all fine, right? But I think even a lot of us that have forgiveness don't really believe we do. And the rest of us who do have forgiveness kind of take it for granted, because it's not urgent, right? I mean, unless you're on your deathbed, it's not urgent. It's not a pressing need. And this is Jesus's point, okay? You guys are concerned about this guy's legs not being able to operate, and I get all that. Jesus is concerned about his deeper spiritual problem. But I want you to know that the Son of Man, this is a messianic term he's using for himself, has authority on earth to forgive sins. They had the system for forgiving sins. Again, it was given by God through Moses, but it was just the Old Testament that was going to set up what Jesus was going to do. When we do communion in just a little bit and we take the body and the blood of Jesus, that is about the fact that Jesus was the perfect sacrifice and took care of all of our sins. But here's what's interesting. The Old Testament system required the blood sacrifice to reverse the consequences of sin. And the reason that's important is because their belief back in that day, it was another incorrect belief, but you got to know that's who Jesus is talking to, is that if you had a physical problem, it was God's punishment either on you or your parents. Jesus healed a blind man one time, and they were like, Jesus, tell us who sinned, this man or his parents? And Jesus was like, neither one of them, you knuckleheads. This is just here so I can glorify God. And we all know now, I mean, I can tell you if you have some kind of a problem, it's not punishment from God. Okay, because I got problems, and you know, I don't think they're punishment from God. It's the result of sin. You know, anytime I do a funeral, I always talk about that. God did not, you know, call his little angel home. Okay, God did not want all of this. The world is broken. But they believed that sickness and disease was punishment for sin. So Jesus says, I'm going to forgive the guy. And then to prove to you that I have the power to forgive him. So he said to the man, all right, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. It's just brilliant. It's brilliant. He sets it up so well. He was showing that if he could reverse the consequence of sin with the word, in other words, heal him, then perhaps he can also forgive sin with the word as well. And he took away everybody's argument just like that. And the man got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. Yeah, no kidding. They've never seen anything like this. And I love this one here. Full view of them all. I mean, of course they did. You know, everybody's just kind of like, he's walking. I mean, they know this guy. They're backing out of the way, and he's walking out. And, you know, I know you like watching videos instead of listening to sermons anyway, so let's watch this scene from The Chosen, because it's awesome.
Jesus of Nazareth! Over there. I saw what you did to the leper on the road this morning. My friend has been paralyzed since childhood. He has no hope but you. Please. Do for him what you did for the leper.
Butler?
That's a rope!
Put it back, man!
If you are willing, Rabbi, I know you can do this.
You wanted. Get out your tablet at least.
Harry!
Is he in danger?
I don't know. No, I don't think so.
He's got room in there?
Yes.
Can you believe we're really here for this?
Yes.
Down. Whose authority do you teach? Answer me.
If you are willing, Rabbi, you know you can.
Hey, I'm talking to you. By whom do you teach? Certainly not the authority of any rabbi from Nazareth. Where did you study?
Your faith is beautiful. Son, take heart. Your sins are forgiven. Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Right. But I ask you, which is easier to say? Your sins are forgiven, or rise up and walk? It's easy to say anything, no? But to show you, and so that you may know that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins. I say to you, my son, rise, pick up your bed, and go home.
What I'm trying to tell you is, yeah, I know it's good. You can't help but not clap. I mean, it's not Ted Lasso, but that's good television right there. I'm telling you. Your deepest need is about being reconciled with your Heavenly Father. And I don't know why God just gave it to me. When I've been baptizing people, I've just been saying, listen to me. Your Father wants you to know that He loves you, that He forgives you, and that He's proud of you. That is your deepest need, whether you believe it or not. And the truth of the matter is, it's true. Those things that stress you out, those things that keep you up at night, that make you like lose sleep and you're worried about, your most pressing need, your health, your resources, loneliness, recognition, whatever it is, those are real issues. I'm not minimizing it. I mean, it would be offensive to me if I had the resources and you didn't have enough money to pay your bills for me to say, hey, don't worry about it. It's all going to work out, right? That's not cool. They just aren't our greatest need. And Jesus's point is, all of these things, other things are important. He even said, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to you. But they're temporary. Again, our greatest need is forgiveness. I couldn't tell you anything different. But let me ask you this. Do you ever wonder if God can or would forgive you personally? Because what I run into a lot of times, and I struggle with it myself, I don't deserve it, okay? And neither do you, and I get that. So what happens is a lot of times it's like, well, I believe that, you know, Jesus died for the sins of the world. Yeah. But do you ever wonder if it's possible for Him to forgive you? To look at you, not through the filter of the bad stuff you've done or what you didn't do that you should have, is it possible that God could look through the filter of Jesus
and the filter of forgiven and see you as whole. Because that is the truth. And it's not only possible, it's why Jesus came. And I understand if you have trouble forgiving yourself. I understand if you have trouble making it go from here to your heart, okay? I get that. But the first step in forgiving yourself is to recognize that your heavenly Father doesn't hold it against you. As a matter of fact, the Old Testament tells us that he removes our sin as far as the east is from the west. Do you know how far that is? Neither do I. It's a metaphor. He takes our sin and he removes it so far that it's on the other side of whatever side is. And when I finally realize that the God who created me is not mad at me and doesn't hold it against me, then who am I to hold it against myself? And who am I to hold it against everybody else? And what Mark does next is brilliant, because right after this, okay, so we go, leprous guy gets healed, don't tell anybody, but everybody knows, okay, I can forgive sin, but I can also heal paralyzed people, and I wanna do that just to prove that I can forgive sin, and I'm gonna prove it so big that the next story is about him calling Matthew, the tax collector, which again, whether you understand this or not, would have been like going out. Jesus says, I can forgive sins and I'm gonna prove it. I healed that guy, get up, take your mat out and walk. Now I'm gonna walk out of here and I'm gonna find the worst sinner I possibly can. Because that's what they, again, that would have been their paradigm, right? He's a tax collector. That means he's sold out to the Roman government and he's screwing over his own people. That was the, they had their own category of sin for that. And he goes and he calls Matthew and he says, Matthew, come and follow me. It's as if Jesus is saying, if I can forgive the worst of sinners, I can forgive you too. If I have the power to make a paralyzed man walk, then I have the authority to forgive whatever it is that you've done. And yes, you may have some pressing need in your life right now, but your greatest need is to be reconciled to God, and I've done that for you. Christianity offers that solution to the dilemma, and that's why it's unique to any other religion, and it's also right. And yes, sometimes he heals and sometimes he'll give you the job and fix the relationship and do all those other kinds of things. But the good news is forgiveness. Again, from last week, Jesus said to her, I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this, right? What we said last week was this, he said this sickness will not end in death, but Lazarus did die. It's just that death didn't end in death, right? And the greatest thing that Jesus said during that story was not Lazarus come out from the grave, it's everyone can come out of the grave. So when Jesus is going, yeah, I can heal a guy, walk, make him walk again, but what's really important is forgiveness, he's also knowing that the price he's gonna pay for forgiveness is great. He would be pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace and forgiveness was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. What does that look like? One of the verses in your Quest 52 reading this week is Ephesians 1:7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace. So when we take communion together in just a moment, that's why we do it every week, to remember that we have redemption, buyback through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. So these same hands that waved over the man and gave him his ability to walk again are the ones that would go to the cross and pay the price. Your sins are forgiven. So there's a couple of takeaways for today as we think about baptism, okay? The first one is sometimes you need to do something drastic. I mean, maybe tear the roof off, okay? I mean, maybe you've heard this story enough times that you don't really get this, but I mean, these guys are like seriously drastic. This is really crazy. When they could not find a way to get him to Jesus through the crowd, they went up on the roof, lowered him through the mat in the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus, okay? You can leave the roof alone here or whatever campus you're at. It's not that easy to break through, but your greatest need is forgiveness. So maybe
in relation to forgiveness, you need to do something drastic. What could that look like? Well, they asked Peter on the day of Pentecost, they asked him, they said, hey, we killed Jesus. We understand that. Now, what should we do to be saved? And Peter said, you should repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And 3,000 people got baptized that day for the forgiveness of your sins. Don't misunderstand. There's nothing in the water that erases your sins. It's an act that symbolizes something drastic. It's wrecking a hole in the roof saying, hey, I need some help here. And it's something that you're always going to remember. And Jesus did this sometimes. He told people to go do something so that they would remember. The Syrian general in the Old Testament before Jesus was told to go dip in the water 7 times in the Jordan River. And he's like, why should I do that? Well, you should do that because if you don't do that, you're not going to get healed. The blind man, Jesus said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. Well, can't I just like wipe my eyes off? No, you need to go do what I said. The lepers, he said, go show yourself to the priest, and then they were healed. And the first thing that Jesus did when he started his ministry, even though he didn't need it, is he went and got baptized. And the heavens opened and God said, that's my son, I'm proud of him. Let's go, let's rock and roll. This is ministry time. The apostle Paul was knocked off his horse by a light when Jesus appeared to him and said, you're coming with me, buddy. And he says, a man named Ananias came to see me. He was a devout observer of the law, highly respected by the Jews living there. And he stood beside me and said, brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that moment, I was able to see him. He'd been blinded by the light, literally. Then he said, the God of our ancestors has chosen you to know his will and to see the righteous one and to hear the words from his mouth. And you, Paul, will be a witness to the people what you've seen and heard. And now what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name. Do something drastic, okay? And the second thing is maybe keep a constant reminder. I think this is really interesting. Jesus said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, take your mat and go home. Now, think about this. If this is me, if I'm healing him, I'm like, hey, take that mat and throw it in the lake. Take that mat and burn it. You don't need that mat anymore. You're healed. You're whole. But it's as if Jesus says, no, wait a minute. I want you to take that mat home. And I want you to remember who you used to be and who you are now. And I don't know what that's going to look like for you. I think the experience of baptism is that. Because you know what? You're never going to forget it. You're never going to forget that you went and got dunked in the water. It's just not possible. And if you need a reminder, we are going to give you I Got Dunked at Parkview bag to put all your wet junk in, okay? So you could take that and leave it somewhere around. We're also, more importantly, going to give you a Bible. Maybe you have one already, but we're going to give you a Bible and you can write something in here. Maybe you want to get some of these verses from this sermon and put them in here and remember what Jesus did for you. Maybe there'll be something else. Maybe it'll be physical, but usually it's probably not going to be that big a deal because you're never going to forget this, okay? If I forget I'm married, I can look down at my wedding ring, but I still remember my wedding, which was almost 40 years ago. Okay? You're never going to forget it. So here's what I'm going to tell you, all right? Your excuses, right? Again, we have t-shirts for you. We've got something for you to wear if you weren't prepared for this. We've got towels for you. Don't worry about being wet. We're set up for you. We have plastic bags for you to put over your precious leather car seats that you paid too much money for and are making payments on right now, even though Dave Ramsey told you not to, okay? We have every excuse that you could come up with, I will answer it, all right? But one of them is usually, well, you know, my family's not here or whatever. Listen, this is about you, okay? It's about you and God, and if today is your day, then when we have communion in a moment, when we sing worship in just a moment, I want to invite you, step out to the back. That'll help us because we can get you all lined up, and then we're going to have people come up. And like I said, we only had a few that were going to do it last service, and we kept going into the next service. I'll stay here till tomorrow if you want to keep getting baptized, okay? Go call your friends and tell them to come up here, and we'll baptize them. Wreck the roof. Let's do this. This is what God is asking for us to do. And then, what I tell everybody when they're in there is, now you will never forget that God loves you, and that he forgives you, and that he's proud of you, okay? I want you to repeat the good confession with me, if you would, and then I'll pray, and then we'll sing some worship, and I'll do communion from the tub, and we'll close out. I promise I won't keep you too late, but if this is your day, step out and go do it. Repeat this with me. I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and he is my Lord and Savior. Father, if there are people here who are saying that maybe for the first time, I just want you to help them to believe it. I know you said if we confess with our mouth, we'll be saved, but I believe that we can confess a lot of things with our mouth and not believe them in our heart. I believe that there are a lot of people that you've forgiven that are walking around not living that way, not feeling it, not believing it. And it's easy for us to get caught up in the little things that we know, the little things that, and maybe they're not little, the needs that we have, the wants that we have. I know that there are people who have health things going on here and relationship things going on, and they're massive. But nothing is as massive as our need to be reconciled to you. Jesus, thank you for providing that for us. Be with us as we celebrate it now, watching baptisms. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.
Cry to find no breath.
Jesus commands my destiny. Yeah. No power of hell, no scheme of man, yes, can ever pluck me from his hands till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ, I'll stand. Oh, 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 oh. Yes.
You to keep standing if you don't mind. I want to do communion this way. Take a moment and peel the little cellophane part off the top of there and get to the bread, and then under the foil is the cup. And I want you to keep standing, because if you want to get baptized, I want you to be able to get out really easily. Like I said, most of the people who are doing it weren't even planning on it. These people walking up, they're going to do it. You're going to join them. Last service, they said, oh, we don't have very many, you know, so take your time. And then we ended up baptizing into the next service. That's how the move of God is working. We're ready for you, okay? So listen, we're going to take communion. I will remind you again, Jesus said, forgiveness cost me everything. So when you get together, take this and eat it. This is my body that was broken for you. And this is the blood of forgiveness. Take and drink. Lord, thank you for bringing us to the place where we can rest. You said, my burden is easy. Come and find rest. There's never more anxiety than when we think about what the eternity looks like. And even if we're not sure we believe it, it's inside of our hearts. And that is our greatest need. And you came to bring us eternity. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for what it cost you. Thank you for the blessing of not having to do everything on our own. We love you, Lord. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. So we're going to sing some more. We'll sing one more song, and then I'll give us a benediction, and you guys can go if you want to, but we're going to stay around. This is going to be so much fun. I got to tell you, the last baptism that you saw, if you got here on time, and we're in here. His name was Reuben. And if you've heard me tell the story before, he's the guy that came in the auditorium because he heard us playing Highway to Hell in church. And he married his wife on Tuesday, and they got baptized just a minute ago. I mean, I got so many stories like that. It'd blow me away. So thank you, ACDC. And if you need an excuse to get baptized, I'll come up with something. Here we go. Come on, let's go.
Come on, let's go. The
This is a resurrection day.
Yep.
The old life's gone, the new has come to stay, and the sorrows of our past are turning into praise. This is a resurrection day.
Let's go. Yep.
Come and find a new beginning.
Yep.
The river of God is a river of healing, where sins are washed in a grave called baptism. Come and find a new.
Okay, I'm going to pray, and you can go to brunch or whatever, but you can hang around if you want. And if God's telling you to jump in, then jump in. Don't mess with God. May the Lord bless us and keep us. May he make his face shine upon us and be gracious to us. May the Lord lift his countenance upon us and give us peace. May the grace, of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the unbelievable fellowship with the Holy Spirit be with us now and forever. Amen. Amen. Have a great weekend, everybody.